Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It is a very exciting time because it is Masters Week, and in honor of Masters Week, I have three azaleas sitting on the desk here in front of me, only one of which has even begun to bloom because I think the folks at Augusta National didn't want them to bloom yet, because that's what they can do. They can control whether or not the flowers bloom. They have that power. Gary Williams, Five Clubs Golf, joins us from Augusta. Sir, how you doing?
Adam, my friend, I'm doing very well. I hope you are.
We are. We are doing very well. It's a big week. A lot going on. Hurricanes coming down to the end of the regular season. Three more games left. And there's a little golf tournament going on in Augusta. Five Clubs Golf, you're doing a diary. And it was interesting because I wanted to talk about certain things, and I just clicked on your diary not this past commercial break, the previous one. I'm like, everything I just talked about is right there. It's so good. So maybe we're on the same wavelength. I want to start with Brooks Koepka because he was the one who made me laugh out loud. I loved his press conference yesterday because, and I think the term you used, which I stole, was too cool for school or something like that. And he almost wants to make you think that he's indifferent to it all, but he knows. He keeps receipts. He knows who's ahead of him on the majors list. He knows how many he's got. He knows how many he's tied with. He doesn't care about regular tour events. He never has. That does give him an edge, doesn't it?
I think it absolutely does, Adam. I think that it's – I was having this conversation with several people yesterday that he is – it's reasonable to suggest that he is – going to win seven majors, okay? Maybe eight. I don't know. He still has, with good health, you would like to believe he has the requisite skills to be highly competitive in majors for, you know, let's say five more years, okay? So if he picks off two or three between now and the end of the line, I mean, we're talking about a Tom Watson-like major championship career if he gets to eight. Now, if he gets to eight majors and the balance of the ledger is less regular tour wins, it's one of the true outlier resumes historically that we've ever seen. No matter however, you know, five majors, six majors, seven, whatever that number was, it was balanced with 30, 40, right, 50 additional professional wins. His indifference to that, I think, now turns him on. Like, I think he doesn't. I don't think he tries to sabotage himself the rest of the year. But I think that he comes. I think he loves the fact that he has become like the major hitman. Like, he is the designated hitman to come to these events and cast the longest shadow. And I think it makes him exceedingly interesting.
Oh, I agree. And I think, well, he's on record of saying he doesn't practice. He never practiced for regular tour events. He used regular tour events as practice for majors, which is absolutely hysterical. And I don't know, I've kind of grown to like him more than I did, because I think there have been times where he's been kind of openly disdainful, like of Dustin Johnson, who was probably closer to Koepka than he is now. He has gone at Rory McIlroy. You know, he hasn't won one since I've joined the tour, which, I'm sorry, hashtag facts only, and I'm Team Rory, which we'll get to in a second. But he doesn't care about the other events. He's only geared up, and he's probably right that if you have that mindset, they might be easier to win because the field of competitors, true competitors, is smaller.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, he famously, and I was in the room when he did this, he broke down and deconstructed basically his own major championship algorithm. Who can win? And he took the PGA Championship, of which he was paired with Tiger in 2019 at Bethpage, knew he was playing with him the first two rounds. Tiger just won the Masters, And in New York lays down the marker that I only have to beat 12 guys. I'm going, wow, this is Namath-like. And he goes out and shoots 63 in the opening round. And it got a little hairy there late on Sunday for like 45 minutes. I'm with you. There was kind of like this bro-ish kind of persona to him that it's but I'm beyond that now. I find him mildly amusing, but again, very interesting.
Totally. All right. Speaking of interesting, I think John Rahm is one of the more thoughtful players we've got on tour. In terms of being thoughtful, I put him in the same category as a Rory McIlroy for the in that regard. I do believe Rahm is speaking the truth in his mind that he thought that his decision to go to the LIV Tour would be the impetus for a deal brokered between the two entities. It turns out it looks like he's going to be wrong, just like everybody else who was swayed by the public investment fund money. And Greg Norman was wrong by all of those promises other than the money. What do you make of where John is in terms of his mental headspace?
I think he's in a peculiar place. I think he is, I'm not going to use the term buyer's remorse, but I think that he is missing things. He's missing elements that the others, whatever their age was, whether it was the elder group of the Stensons and Westwoods and Poulters who were beyond their hyper-competitive years to the younger guys like DeChambeau or Joaquin Niemann. John was the best player in terms of Koepka was compromised physically. So yep. It was a different situation. John is, height of who he is. And I'm not suggesting he's plateaued. He is as good as anybody, not necessarily as good in the moment as Scheffler is right now. And I think that he's struggling with something that he perceived to be less than what he expected his career to be, which was this edgy elite championship golf, which is not what LIV is, which he pointed out when he was still a member of the PGA Tour. I think those misgivings still exist. I think he misses his peer group and the environment, which is very different over there. And that's why I hedge on him this week a little bit, not entirely, but a little bit.
He's already asked for 72 hole events. He said he never liked the format before, but now he's sort of embracing team golf. Of course, the first couple of events when they interviewed him after, he had to suddenly at the end of the interview kind of, that's right, we're a team. He was more upset that he didn't win individually. Maybe it's like scotch. It just takes a while to figure it out. But I wish Rahm. I do believe that he was true to himself and that he thought he would be the impetus for the decision. And what we're finding out is that it's going to take a lot longer. And it's still, I don't think, better than 50-50. That it ever really comes off. I have a much deeper conversation. I don't want to, take up too much time. I have a much deeper conversation about the massive risk the PGA Tour is making by extending themselves so far. And if they don't broker a deal with the PIF, they could just buy whoever they want eventually. And the PGA Tour will really suffer without some of the next wave of young star that could be bought. Like if Joaquin Niemann's going to LIV, and he had a huge future on the PGA Tour, that's those types of things are problems. If Hideki Matsuyama or Tom Kim left, Tom Kim struggled, it would be a huge, huge problem. Do you believe that Tiger really believes, Gary Williams, that he can win this Masters?
No, I think he has less. I think his belief system is more challenged currently than it's ever been. And it's a combination of the things that we associate with anybody who advances in life, that time is undefeated, and that time is a cold thug and is abrupt and is absolute when time decides it's over. And I think that he is not at that place, but he's closer to that place than he's ever been. And sitting in that room yesterday, there was an absence of energy and an absence of total conviction that I've never associated with him. So I think that him making the cut, and I think him making the cut in any of these events is a significant yes. achievement. And I'm not trying to diminish, you know, it like saying, well, this is what he's been reduced to. That I don't think people understand that the severity of that accident right. that he went through. I think if he makes the cut, which would then eclipse Couples and Player for the most consecutive cuts made in Masters history, he deserves to own that record. And I think that would be a hell of an achievement.
My gosh. It's funny. I'm on the FanDuel website, and I can't find a wager to make the cut or to not make the cut. But he's plus 15,000 to win. He's plus 40,000 to win by at least four, which I'm sorry, I'm laughing. Like, who would you back at plus 15,000, Tiger or Denny McCarthy?
Oh, gosh, Denny McCarthy in a walk.
Yeah.
Come on.
Oh, yeah. I see what you did there in a walk. If you put Tiger in a cart, could Tiger win the Masters?
No, but it would probably be, a fun, exciting weekend, because he would be maybe hanging on the periphery.
Yeah.
The walking is the real thing.
Yes.
The competitive rust, the things that he made look so efficient, holding rounds together by making 6 and 7 footers because he hit what looked like a mundane chip, which was not mundane at all around these greens. Those things, I just don't think over the course of 72 holes are achievable for him to do.
I agree. He hasn't completed a full round of golf other than at Hero, or a full tournament other than Hero, in more than a year and a half.
That's
right?
Correct.
He didn't finish the Masters. He got plantar fasciitis. He didn't finish the PGA. He withdrew because he had influenza, which I'm sorry, this is kind of interesting way of wording it. Most of us just
Isn't
say
that what guys
the
got
flu.
In the 1934 Masters.
Yes, it was an epidemic. We'll close with this, Gary Williams. I'm smiling ear to ear, and I wish you could see my azaleas, which is not something that one normally says to another guy. Rory McIlroy. I was looking. I didn't. You pointed it out on your diary, and I encourage people go to Five Clubs Golf, read the diary. Because I was looking at the times, I was listening to as many press conferences as I could yesterday, and when Rory was done, I went, that's it? Like 10 yeah. minutes? What do you make of that?
I here's what I make of it. I think that this exercise, particularly here, I don't think that will be the case at Valhalla, where the PGA is next month, or Pinehurst number 2 in a couple of months. I think that he is trying. I think the exercise is counterproductive. Too much of the narrative that he is being asked about is about something that is the Rubicon that he's trying to cross. And I totally get it. So trying to limit the conversation and having to get his mind to a place about trying to do something that theoretically has never really been done, with all due respect to Sarah's, and it was retroactive. Nobody knew what he won in 1935.
Right.
This is a very different situation. I think, you know, him coming in literally last and getting here, you know, in advance and playing a couple of rounds, which can that all the time be the most useful time, because the golf course is usually, you know, kind of shaggy and soft, and I mean that relatively speaking.
Right.
But I think that he's trying to do things at least marginally different than he's ever done it before, because whatever way he's done it before has not produced a win. So I have no problem with it. I don't feel slighted. I don't think anybody else in the press building feels slighted that he got in early and slipped out late and limited the amount of time that he was required to answer these questions. Look, he's giving of his time. He's particularly thoughtful about everything that he's asked of. So he's trying to switch it up. And I will say this. I did ask him the question about Butch Harmon.
Right.
And he shared something which I think is worthwhile, and that this was not like, I'm going to fly to Vegas, spend a little time, and then, you know, hey, I'll talk to you when I talk to you. They're communicating every day.
Yeah.
I think that the positive reinforcement psychologically that Butch Harmon can give to you as golf's Yoda I think can be very useful for Rory this week.
Yeah, and Butch Harmon kind of brought Ricky Fowler back from the brink,
absolutely,
too. So there's a lot of positives there. I think two things real quick about Rory. One, I think he is emotionally exhausted from carrying the PGA Tour for the last couple of years. And I think it probably took less of a toll on him in the moment than it does even now. And I also think that if Rory wins another major, had he won the Open Championship a couple of years ago, which he should have won, he had, as great a final round as Cam Smith shot, Rory should have won that major.
We agree.
Should have won the U.S. Open. Again, as great a round as Wyndham Clark, great a tournament as Wyndham Clark had, Rory didn't put enough pressure on him, and he should have. If he wins any other major, I think he can reel off another four or five. I don't think this is the next one he's going to win. I think it'll be something else, and it'll likely be a come from behind.
Yeah, that's fair. I you know, the four or five would be a tremendous major championship haul in the back end of your career. I'll leave you with this. He's in a historically unfamiliar place. Nobody who has gone from four majors to five has taken this long to do
right.
it. On average, every single player who has five or more, on average, it took him 2.5 years. And the only outlier is Peter Thomson at 7 years. And the only reason he was at seven, he never came to the United States. He only played in the Open. He played in two majors other than the Open Championship. This is very, very uncharted territory for him, let alone anybody. But I think your position on get one somewhere else and this will be more achievable, totally reasonable position. I still think that this is a very personal experience for him. He will be a regular member of this club. I believe it down to my socks, but he's not going to be if he doesn't win here because he's not going to come here and put on a green jacket.
Right.
Having not won the tournament, he has relationships here that are very deep for him. This is, like I said, this is Rory's Rubicon. And if he wins it somewhere else, anyone, does it make it marginally more achievable? Yes, but not by much. This is a big ask of him.
No question. No question about that. I foresee a back half of his career like when Phil Mickelson finally started winning majors. That's what I see for Rory. I think he's still got tons of
it. Phil was 33. Rory's going to be 35 in a month.
Yeah.
It's biologically they're essentially the same guy. And Rory, he's dealt with a few injuries, but nothing super super significant. He still is nimble and as you know and as fluid in terms of his body as he was 5 years ago. He's not 21 anymore, but yeah, no, you're right in terms of the Phil Rory thing and the major championship production at a similar time in their life. Right on.
It doesn't look as good in a quarter zip as you do, Gary. Gary Williams, Five Clubs Golf, and at Gary Williams 1UP on Twitter. Thank you so much for joining us. I'll talk to you soon.
Adam, thank you, my friend. Enjoy the 88th Masters, buddy.
You got it.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.